Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the Football Full Disclosure. Talking to you is Dean Sanusi, Mr. Marty Bailey.
Hello.
Good afternoon. How are we doing?
Doing all right. Yes, looking forward to it, as always.
Oh, yeah, that's the attitude. That's it. You know, we're here talking on a Friday, so we've seen everything, haven't we?
We've seen it all, we have smiles on our faces because it was a great, great weekend for us.
Don't tell him that.
No,
because we're full disclosure, we are Liverpool supporters, but we're not smiling, really. We're yeah, okay, one of us isn't smiling. But anyway, we just had game week 10, some controversy, lots of goals, and with great sadness, after 32 games unbeaten, Man City finally been defeated in battle by who?
Bournemouth.
Yeah, you gotta go to the Vitality Stadium where City lost 2-1 to Bournemouth. So it's good for us, right?
It's good for us. It's not a result you would have ever seen coming, I don't think.
No.
But it just goes to show, and you know, it's a bit of a broken record. Keep going on about it, but okay, they're just not the same team.
I'm gonna stop you right there. You said something that surprises people we haven't seen coming. I think we've seen this coming. I think we've seen an incredibly weak City. Obviously, you know, it was goals from Evan Nielsen and Semenyo, but Pep had come out making statements like, we've got only 13 fit players. City really miss Rodri. I think, you know, when you come out saying things like that, I think teams are listening. I think managers are listening and managers are saying, hey, actually, this is the time. This is our opportunity. So, you know, I know Pep is there doing some kind of mind games, trying to tell people or making excuses. But I think teams are listening and thinking, oh, actually, no, this is our opportunity. And Bournemouth did.
But I think a team like Manchester City, with the depth that they have, shouldn't be making those excuses. I still think they must have enough about them to be not losing to Bournemouth.
I mean, you need 11 players on the pitch, and he had 13 fit players, and you know, great goal from Vardiol once again scoring from the back. But you know, I completely agree with you. You know, I personally have no sympathy for City, none at all. I don't think he should be coming out making those kinds of excuses with the money they've spent. So I think, you know, well done to Bournemouth.
Yeah, well done to Bournemouth. Of course, turning up, and maybe they had that in their mind. Look, we can take them. They themselves think they, you know, they've got issues. They're not in a good place. Let's go there and give it to them. But I mean, City still had 18 shots, only 4 on target. I mean, they had chances, right? They had plenty of chances.
An awful lot of chances.
That being said, Bournemouth had 12, 6 on target, and scored 2. So I mean,
we do have to say that Bournemouth are a really good side at home. They've won 3 home games. Remember, they beat Arsenal 2 weeks back. So this is, you know, this is a good Bournemouth side at the Vitality Stadium. You know, I wonder what happens to Liverpool. We're actually moving on to Liverpool now. Let's head over to Anfield. So Anfield, we were facing Brighton. This was the second game in less than a week, and we saw a 2-1 win for Liverpool. And Fantastic goal from Mr. Mo Salah. But before we get onto Mo Salah, because I think he deserves his flowers, what do we think? Because this Liverpool side, you know, we had, you know, about a month back, we were talking about the fact that Liverpool had a Chelsea game, Arsenal, Brighton twice, Bayer Leverkusen, and, well, Villa in a couple of days' time. It was a run-up that looked tough.
Really tough run. And again, it was everyone was saying, well, you know, Liverpool are doing well. They've had a great start, but they've had easy games. Mm. We'll see where they are after this run is over. And so far, so good, isn't it? Let's be honest. Fantastic results all round. Didn't look great in that Brighton game in the first half, but
no. We
pulled it together in the second half.
They scored
Slot
a great
seems
goal.
To be pretty tactically astute. He's very on it. And he's like, right, okay, we got problems. Here are where the problems lie. Let's fix it. This is what we need to do. He seems like he knows what he's doing. I think it's not just, you know, he inherited a good team. Yes, he did. Of course, he inherited a great team. But the changes that he's made has certainly made me a bit calmer when watching Liverpool games as a Liverpool supporter.
100% agree.
We are a lot more solid at the back. We're not, you know, we're not as gung ho, and you know, you want to see his team scoring goals, but we're still scoring
goals.
We just look good defensively, and you want the complete package. And I think he's brought that in the way that he's coaching the team mm-hmm. and with the tactics that he's putting out there. So it's exciting. I mean, of course, we've still got tough games coming up.
Mm. The Villa game will be hard.
Villa game, yeah, the Villa game will be tricky, and then we got Real Madrid, I believe, after that or soon to come. Real Madrid,
Villa, obviously, and. Tough game with at Southampton probably
after the international tricky,
yeah, those are the games that we often, you know, surprise us. But we have to talk about Mo Salah, you know, this 10th goal against Brighton. So he's obviously got a very, very good record against Brighton, but with that goal it moved Mo Salah up to 8th in the Premier League all-time goal scoring list, and it's just it's just Thierry Henry and Lampard just in front of him for 7th and 6th place with 175 and 177 goals. So can Mo Salah beat them? He's currently on 164 goals, I think. Do you think he'll beat them?
Well, it depends. Mm. Is he going to sign a new contract and stick around? Because if he leaves at the end of the season, then you don't know, do you? I hope so. I think you definitely don't want to lose Mo Salah on a free transfer, do you?
No, absolutely
not. And I'd say that about any of the players that the contracts are running out. Virgil, definitely not Trent, not at 26, right?
26.
Yeah, it's you don't want to be losing a player of that caliber at that age for nothing. Mm. So, I mean, for me, sign them all up. Unless somebody offers you a load of money in January, and then it's like, okay, I think either you're going to sign this or we're going to cash in on you. Mm-hmm. I think that would be an option, but definitely not to lose him at the end of the season. But yeah, I mean, he's still doing the business.
And that's
what you want.
You know, if Mo Salah does leave, do you think he's a legend? Does he go down as an all-time great?
He will do, won't he? He'll go down. He'll probably go down in the best 11 until somebody better comes along, for sure. Because currently now, he's broken so many Liverpool records. How can he not be?
He keeps breaking them.
Yeah, he keeps breaking them, Liverpool records. So he holds, you know, so many Liverpool records now that he has to be considered one of the greats.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have thought that when we signed him, everyone's having a bit of a dig and Chelsea reject.
Who's this Egyptian guy coming from Roma? But I think, you know, Mo Salah, what a player. You know, it's, you know, time and time again, we've seen him, you know, cutting on the right side and just, you know, hit that ball with so much ferocity, but so much accuracy. And, you know, he scored, you know, a very similar goal against Brighton. And Cody Gakpo is another one. You know, he's having, you know, a pretty decent period of time. You know,
he's doing a lot better now, isn't he? He's playing more on the left. And he seems to be doing very well coming in from there, as opposed to being played as the number nine, which he had been previously. So yeah, he looks good.
There's a lot of fluidity going on that Liverpool side, and long may it last. There's no bias there, of course.
I'm going to bring in Nunez again as well. Special mention, because he's not getting goals.
No.
But he is contributing into the team performance a lot, getting back and defending. His overall game has improved.
Do you know who that reminds me of?
I just want to see more goals.
Roberto Firmino.
Yeah.
Another fellow didn't score a lot of goals, but he did the hard work. He did the donkey work, as I like to call it. And I think that at the core of it is what we want to see from Nunez. People will love that. You know, yes, maybe he doesn't get all of the goals, but he assists here and there. But my God, he's working hard.
Well, Diaz got played in a different role.
He did.
Against Leverkusen.
Yeah. So a hat-trick to show for it.
Yeah, and he got a hat-trick to show for it as well. So that's potentially another option in that number nine role,
there
isn't it?
There we go. Yeah.
So we'll see how that pans out.
Okay, so let's move on to St. James's Park, where we saw Newcastle host Arsenal. Not a good away game for Arsenal, was it?
Not good at all.
No.
Good for us again, though.
Oh, good for us, of course. But, you know, I was speaking to a couple of my Arsenal supporter friends, and they're resigned to the fact that the Premier League is done. Is it too early?
I think it's too early. I mean, you can't be giving up now. I mean, it's
I mean,
still a lot of football to be played, but...
They are doom and gloom Arsenal supporters, and they will...
They've seen it before, haven't they?
They've seen it all before. But they seem to think this loss spelled the end of their Premier League run. And I think it's a bit too early. They've got some injuries. You know, some players will come back, and, you know, but credits, you have to... Have you seen the goal? Did you see the goal? It was an amazing cross. I think... Alan Shearer called it a cross from the 80s. It was Anthony Gordon, whipped in ball on a dime on the head of Alexander Isak. Nothing the keeper could do about it. It was an amazing cross. And actually, it's something you don't see very much these days. You know, players just whipping in that cross from the side. And it was a great goal. But Arsenal had enough time. They had enough time in the game to do something about it, and they just didn't.
No. Good signing, Gordon, for Newcastle.
Yeah.
But again, Newcastle are one of these teams that can very easily turn up and probably beat anyone. I mean, they've got good players.
They're tough at home as well.
Yeah, they are tough at home.
They're tough at
home. So, I mean, okay. I mean, from an Arsenal point of view, obviously you don't want to be losing it. I don't think it's like doom and gloom, oh, Newcastle beat us. That would be doing them a bit of disrespect, because I think Newcastle are a good side. So, you know, they're away from home. They got beaten. Yes, they do have injuries. Mm. Those players will come back.
Yeah.
They have January to do some reinforcements.
They
There's
do.
Still a lot of football to be played. They so do. I don't think it's over yet. That being said, I don't think they will.
You know, no.
I don't think they will be challenging. But, I mean, if I was supporting them, I wouldn't be giving up, is what I think I was
saying. You know, but saying that, I think, I'm not sure if you followed the news in terms of Edu, one of their board members.
He's left.
And I think, you know, again, speaking to my Arsenal supporter friends, they seem to think, This is a bit of a worry for them. You know, Edu is their equivalent of our Edwards, for example, and they see Edu as the architect of a lot of their recent success. So I think some Arsenal supporters might be quietly worried that Edu leaving might spell, you know, is this a downfall? Is this things not going their way? Is this Arsenal not signing the players that they need to sign in the future? You know, is this... You know, does it bring into question what happens to Mikel Arteta in the future, possibly? You know, it's going to be a tricky one for the Arsenal, looking on, without Edu.
Yeah, they'll find somebody else, won't they?
Come on.
I mean, it's not the end of the world, is it?
It's not.
Well, we lost Edwards, didn't we?
And we did.
You're kind of thinking, oh, what have you done? This guy's amazing. Yeah. Like, some of the stuff he was doing, it's like,
he did
whoa.
Come back.
But he came back.
He came back.
So, hey.
There we go. There's always room. There's always a place open for Edu, I'm sure. So... I was looking at the old table, you know, 10 games in, and I noticed something very surprising. It was, I don't know, I thought it was a misprint, but it's, but for some reason, Nottingham Forest they're third place, and I'm not sure if it's a misprint. It looked like there's an imposter amongst the top four, but Forest are third place, and this came after a 3-0 win, beating West Ham, obviously. What's going on?
Well, Chris Wood was at it again, wasn't he?
Chris Wood,
he's on it at the moment.
Oh,
he
the
really
Kiwi,
is.
He's at it again.
Yeah, he's at it again. He's doing very well. I mean, Forest are having a great season, aren't they?
They
again,
are having
quietly
a very,
just having a really, really good season. Definitely, I mean, European football for them. I mean, the way they're playing right now.
Worst strange things have happened. And Nuno Espirito Santo, obviously their manager, he was serving a touchline ban, believe it or not, and that 3-0 win. So, you know, obviously whatever philosophy it's right through. It's at the core of this Forest team. So it permeates through quite well. But my gosh, they are having a great, great season. Some stunning goal from Ola Aina, you know, in his interview. He said he was just tired. He thought, why not? I'll just hit it.
Hit and hope.
And my gosh, did he hit it. But, you know, at the core of this Forest side, they've got a really very, very strong back four. Two very good centre-backs in Murillo and Milenkovic. Apparently signed him from somewhere in Portugal for 10 million. Never heard of him before, but, you know, they're having a good season. I think they are second place in terms of clean sheets right now. So, you know, let's see. Long may it, you know, continuing. So maybe not an apparition that Forest beat Liverpool. The only team to have beaten Liverpool, obviously.
That's right, yeah. It makes me feel a bit better, seeing how well they're now doing and how well they're
justifies
playing
justifies it, doesn't it?
Justifies
no?
it a bit,
yeah.
I think so. But I mean, they demolished West Ham as well. I know
they
West
did.
Ham had a player sent off,
which
is not great. But I mean, they had 19 total shots to West Ham's 4. I mean, that's worrying, right? That's very worrying.
Alvarez was sent off. I think the game did change a little bit when West Ham lost the guy. But I think it was a dismantling of a West Ham team who are, you know, they're having one of those seasons. I don't see them in the relegation battle, of course not, but I do see them, you know, struggling. You know, there will be games where they get turned over like that. And, you know, you'd hope that maybe the West Ham manager can, you know, bring an end to some of those games. So let's move on to St. Mary's Stadium, where we have Southampton facing Everton. So Russell Martins had his plaudits, and Pep seemed to rate Mr. Russell Martin the previous week. And actually, you know, maybe are we seeing, you know, a good manager in Russell Martin? Because, yeah, Southampton did beat Everton. It was a goal that came after an Everton hitting the post. But, you know, a much, much, much needed win for Southampton. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, again, I would probably wouldn't have put money on them to win that game, the way things have been going for them. But
yeah,
I mean, they desperately needed it. He's a decent enough manager, I guess. We haven't seen enough of him.
Their first win, first win of the season. Yeah.
So I mean, it was a late one. They left it late, 85th minute. But
only the second team of the promoter side to actually win. So what does that say? But yeah, good luck to them. And Everton, things are a bit better for them this season, isn't it?
Well, it's a bit better. They haven't had any points reductions or anything like that. So that's kind of nice for them. And they're a little bit more solid than they had been.
I think a little bit more solid.
And the Dyche effects now.
I don't see a relegation dogfight, but I do see Everton lower down in that bottom half of the table at the end of the season.
Well, I mean, if they keep getting results like this, though, who knows? I mean,
if
they're a team that Southampton can beat them, if the other teams around the bottom think, okay, we can have them, they can do it, we can do it, then you don't know. But yeah, we'll have to wait and see. You never quite know what you're going to get with Everton, do you?
You don't. So let's move on to Molyneux. We're going to talk about a manager that I think we do both quite like.
Yeah.
And Gary O'Neill, I think he's a good manager. He's a good guy. And Wolves and Palace, which played out a 2-2 draw. I think Wolves were unlucky. Even more unlucky that the Wolves supporter was singing, "You don't know what you're doing," directed at Gary O'Neill.
He made a couple of changes, didn't he? And then
he did.
The fans were like, why have you done this? But they seem to work out quite well for Wolves.
It worked out for them.
I think it's one of those where, it's a bit of a, well, maybe you don't know what you're talking
about
to the fans,
exactly.
Right?
Maybe the trained manager might know what he's doing.
Yeah, a bit more trust, I think.
I think so. They've got a special Norwegian, not obviously the Norwegian, and Haaland is another Norwegian in Larsen, who's I think he scored 2 and 2 now. And obviously, Konya, who I think he is almost definitely their creative outlet. So we've said time and time again that we wouldn't be worried about Wolves because they've got actually, a decent manager and a decent squad.
They do have a decent squad and a decent manager. And I think against Palace, it would be certainly a team that they would be expecting usually to beat. So I think, they'll be disappointed they didn't. That being said, Palace had more of the game than they did. So, I mean, is a draw a fair result? Yeah, for them point of view, they had 19 shots to their 11.
Mm.
So Palace had 19, Wolves had 11. So I think they'd probably take the draw given how the game panned out. But going into it, I think they would have said, well, we can have this. They're going to need to start picking up results against these teams because they have a run coming up now they need to be getting more than one.
They need
some wins.
Yes.
And I said before, I do think they'll be around kind of low mid table.
I think so.
After this run of games, and hopefully this is something that can.
I think Wolves are too good a side to be going down. But obviously, we've seen good sides go down before. Obviously, Leicester a couple of seasons back. But no, I completely agree. I think they've got a very strong squad and a very good manager, and they will. With the run of games that they have, they should be picking up points. So let's head over to Portman Road Stadium, where Ipswich hosted Leicester. And that was a boring 1-1 draw, wasn't it?
Again, no games
in the Premier League are boring.
Well, no, not really. Another player sent off for Ipswich, the very experienced Calvin Phillips.
It came after a very strange run of events where Ipswich actually thought they deserved the penalty. And it wasn't a penalty. It was actually the referee showed, I think it was a second yellow, or it was just a straight red even, for Calvin Phillips for a tackle. And that was quite a strange one because they looked at it and, some previous referees have said, it could very well have been a penalty. I think it's one of those ones where if it's given, it doesn't get overturned.
Mm.
So, a tough one for Ipswich. But, Ipswich seem to be the team that they play out an awful lot of draws. An awful lot. They're picking up points.
Yeah, well, points are points, aren't
they? Points are points. They're doing well enough to get those points, but this is a team that will need to convert these draws to wins.
Absolutely.
They need to stay up.
I quite like Ipswich's
approach.
Their approach, the way they're looking at it, it's like, okay, I know we're new up here, but we're still going to try and play football.
Yeah.
Right? It's not like we're just going to sit back and defend and, give teams too much respect. Of course, you've got to give them some, but go out there to try and get something from it. And to be fair, maybe they not had that player sent off in the 77th. Obviously, Leicester scored late.
Jordan Ayew scored very late,
90 plus 4.
So Jordan Ayew.
Yeah. So I mean, that could have been the win they were looking for. So it was unfortunate, but Yeah, I think I don't know about Ipswich. They could be all right. You know, they could be all
it's
right.
It's a tough one because Ipswich doesn't go down. It's at the behest of which other side? Because, you know, we're talking Wolves now, and you know, I personally think, you know, in terms of relegation, Southampton are doesn't look good for them. Obviously,
I think Leicester and Southampton. Will
you know, I think Leicester and Southampton are finding it tough. Obviously, and so, you know, if Ipswich is the side this season that could stay up, you know, it's obviously going to be either another well-established Premier League side or, you know, or yeah, or them. So, but let's wait and see because, you know, they do, again, they've got a very good manager in, like, just like Gary O'Neill and, you know, a decent enough squad, but it'll be tough for them because this is the Premier League.
Yeah, it's Premier League.
Yeah. So let's head over to the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. Spurs face Villa. That was a surprising. That was a surprising game, wasn't it?
Very surprising. Yeah, yeah. I didn't see that result.
4-1 win for Spurs. You know, that was goals from Dominic Solanke and Madison and somebody else. But you know, we've spoken about Villa. We've spoken about Unai Emery. You know, we think he's a very good manager. They're obviously unlucky in Europe, and they played Club Brugge. A very, very strange penalty that was given to Club Brugge. We can talk about that later if you saw it.
I did, yeah.
But 4-1 win to Spurs, you know, getting turned over four goals. That's a bit, it's a lot, isn't it?
It is a lot. It was Johnston, Brennan Johnson that
Brennan
got the first
Johnson.
Goal.
Okay.
And these are all second half goals as well. Solanke got two in like 3 minutes.
Second half four goals. Minutes. What does that say? Is that tiredness?
From Villa's point of view, probably is, yeah. Well, we talked about this before last week, didn't we, I think, and probably previous weeks as well, that doing your, you know, playing in Europe and then trying to play at the weekends as well with three or four games, unless you have a very, very strong, big squad and strong, you know, strong depth, then you are going to struggle. It's simple as that.
So Spurs. Obviously, albeit it's Europa League, but so Spurs.
Yeah,
so,
but I think they've probably got more squad depth. They've been doing it for a lot longer as well. And this
is the
trick, isn't it?
They have.
If you're more experienced in European football, you're more grounded, you have the squad.
Indeed.
You know, you're expecting it.
Yes.
As opposed to Villa, who are, you know, it's pretty new to them.
Yeah, this is new to them.
So, yes. But no, I just still didn't see it coming because you never quite know,
again, with Spurs,
what you're going to get, do you?
So, yeah.
But they did turn up for this one, certainly in the second half. They were very good. Great free kick from Madison at the end, just to you know, rub a little bit of extra salt in the wound. But yeah, great result for Spurs.
I got to ask you, what's your take on the Club Brugge fiasco where Tyrone Mings has picked up the ball and the referee is blown for a penalty? Is that, what? You know, is that just, you know, poor at understanding the game or something else?
I think it's one of those freak things that sometimes happens. Tyrone Mings didn't see the goalkeeper kick it out, right?
No.
So he thinks it's just been kicked, I think. And he's just like, he's picking it up to put it back down. I mean, why else would you do it? You're not
going to
pick it up.
No.
So he's probably thinking like a ball boy or somebody has kicked the ball out. And he's like, oh, I'll go and get it and put it down so we can get going.
Hasn't heard the whistle. That's the other argument. He probably hasn't heard the whistle as well. But it was a strange one.
Very odd.
Obviously, Liverpool have Villa this weekend.
Good time to be playing them.
It's a good time to be playing them because they're coming from, you know, a very tough Champions League game. You know, it was an away game and everything. So the travel obviously adds up. And yeah, I think, you know, possibly, I think with us beating Villa, I think this is shaping up going back to Liverpool. This could be shaping up to be a special season for us, maybe.
Could well be. Yeah, I mean, I don't want to jinx it.
Let's not jinx it.
Not that I believe in those things necessarily,
but
you know, you don't want to be like, yeah, you know, it's all going to go great. We're going to run away with it. And then, you know, it all goes wrong.
There we go.
So we'll wait and see. But yeah, it's a good time to be playing Villa. They've not had
a couple of
bad results on the bounce, some silly stuff happening. They're going to be fragile. So,
yeah.
So,
but I imagine they'll be looking for a result after, you know, 4-1 loss to Spurs. So I think we should be wary. So let's move over to Old Trafford. You know, this was the first game after Ten Hag obviously losing his job. Ruud van Nistelrooy is the interim, but it's all confirmed. There's an imminent arrival of Ruben Amorim, and United supporters will be licking their lips. Amorim, obviously, you know, his final game at Sporting Lisbon turned over a City side 4-1. So, you know, I think United supporters will be seeing that and thinking, have we got a special manager? Or who knows? I mean, the Premier League is a whole different kettle of, a whole different ball game. So
yeah, he's done very well in Portugal.
He has.
He's done very well with Sporting, with his players.
Yeah.
he's been great there, but as you say, the Premier League is tricky, and he's got a lot to do. But then every manager that's come in has had a lot to do, and it's can he do it? Is he going to make those tough choices, which may involve, you know, maybe changing captains? That would be I believe that would be a smart move. But I don't think he will.
A guy that he knows quite well.
Yeah, I don't think he'll do that.
No.
But I think that should certainly happen. I think that would be beneficial to United. I know a lot of people disagree with me on this, but I think just his body language in a lot of those games is not what you want to see. But yeah, he's got tough choices to make. He's got a lot of work to do.
One of the big ones will be Amorim is used to playing three at the back. And that's something obviously United team possibly not entirely coached to do. You know, this is, you know, years and years and years of playing four at the back. So Amorim will come in expecting to, you know, implement his formation, his style of play. And how long does that take? How long does it take to bring in that philosophy? Obviously, you know, your slots, he's had pre-season, obviously. He's had a bit of time with Liverpool. But Amorim, you know, this is November.
Yeah, but at least he's coming in before a window. So, like, he could come in and say, look, I'm looking at it. This can we do this in January, right? Can we get this player or this player, maybe bring in one or two new faces?
Guys he likes,
guys that fit his system that might help for the season. I mean, I think he'll get a pass for the rest of this season because new managers usually do.
They usually do. Certainly I think when he came in yeah, in October, like all those years back. I think, I think he should. He's a good manager. I hope he doesn't ruin his reputation by going to United because it's a tough job. I think Roy Keane said it. He said, the only advice he would give him is he probably needs more years in terms of contract time because this is a big job.
It is a big job. That being said, I think United have kind of looked better since Ten Hag has gone. I know it's only been a few games, but they've had a couple of results.
That happens, doesn't it? You know, players step up, don't they? You know, they know the manager coming in will be watching. So, you know, it adds a little bit more in terms of effort, but that's the question. Where was that effort when Ten Hag was there?
Exactly, that's very unfair on Ten Hag, isn't it? If it's like, well, yeah, now we're going to decide to start playing. So, I mean, whose fault was it? Was it his?
Was it his? So what does that mean? You had it in you, but you decided not to put the effort in while Ten Hag was there. But now that you know Amorim, you know, he's there watching games, he's thinking about his best side, now you're putting a little bit more effort in. I think that's...
Then if the manager notices this, then that's good for him because he'll be like, right, well, we definitely need to, because if this is the attitude that the squad has, then this, you know, this is a big problem. You've got to get the attitude right. You've got to have players who want to play.
Absolutely.
And they're not just going to play when it suits them. They've got to turn up every
week. Absolutely. But it's going to be a tough old job for Mr. Ruben Amorim. And, you know, good luck to him. Let's see what happens. It's always good to have United, you know, there as a side that you can have competitive games with. You know, I think in the last previous years, it's been a bit like we show up, Liverpool shows up, other teams shows up. You know, we beat them. But, you know, you want a competitive battle, especially going to Old Trafford. You know, it's one of the big teams, one of the big stadiums. And, you know, let's see if Amorim can actually do a good job there.
Yeah.
So let's move over to the last game of the roundup, which was at Craven Cottage. So that was Fulham-Brentford. So, up until 90 minutes, if you were watching this game, Brentford were leading. But a little Welsh boy comes on, known as Harry Wilson. He comes on and he completely shocks Brentford. Scores two very, very late goals. And
one very crazy goal as well. I don't even know how he did it.
It was strange. I think, you know, well done to Fulham. But, gosh, I think Brentford will be worried about that. You know, they can't keep a clean sheet.
Yeah, it was 90 plus two when Harry Wilson got his first, 90 plus seven when he got his second. Oh, so, I mean, that's tough.
Hurts.
That's tough to take, isn't it? That's really tough to take.
That
game could have gone either way because they're two teams that are both doing pretty well.
They're doing okay,
And, you know, as you said before, quietly just ticking along and doing what they do.
Absolutely.
But yes, you'll be gutted. If you're Brentford, you're thinking, right, just see the game out, come on. But these long stretches that we get at the end of games now, like seven, eight minutes.
I mean,
they're killing a lot of teams, aren't they? Really giving teams issues because you're tired and it's
fitness. It comes down to fitness. And I think, you know, when you look at teams that are fit, teams with a lot of depth, I think, you know, you will see more goals. But that's what makes the Premier League the league it is. That's why people from around the world tune in to watch the Premier League. That's why we're doing a podcast about football, because we love the excitement of the Premier League, because these things can happen. So, but I mean, I think Brentford need to, Thomas Frank, he'll be looking at that and thinking, I need to sort out that defense. I need to sort out, you know, keep a clean sheet. And I don't think they've kept a clean sheet this season. I think it's a tough one. It's a tough one for them. And I would find it hard to stomach, you know, leading up until 90 minutes and then losing the game.
Again, yeah. In fairness, though, Fulham were all over them.
So, they were.
I mean, I think if you're Fulham and you don't get a result out of that game, don't at least get a draw out of that game when you've had 26 shots,
yes,
then you're going to be very disappointed, aren't you? But again, from Brentford's point of view, you are winning. Hold on to that win.
Hold on,
you
know, to that win.
Even though you haven't been the better team, if you can snatch that win, that's a great result, isn't it?
It's a great result. So that was a roundup for game week 10. So, you know, game week 11 will be an interesting one. I think, you know, teams will be looking to bounce back from things happening. I think City almost definitely will be looking for, you know, some kind of result after losing, you know, losing what? This is 2-3 games in a row now they've lost. We almost definitely will be looking to capitalise. Liverpool will be definitely looking to capitalise. Arsenal definitely, you know, pick up from a loss against Newcastle. So it'll be an interesting game week. I think, you know, as the week draws on, you know, we're going to see the table start to rear its face, you know, show its true nature. So,
well, we'll find out if Wolves are going to do better, because they've got Southampton. Southampton coming off the back of a win, yes.
Yes.
But this is a game at home they have to be winning. If we come back and talk about this next week and Wolves still haven't won, then, you know,
I think they're in trouble.
Yeah, I think you can start thinking, all right, well, look, you've got to be getting wins and points against these teams. I mean, this next one is massive for them. But yeah, lots of those games, Bournemouth, Brentford, Palace, Fulham, West Ham, Everton. So there's going to be a lot of close games, I think.
A lot of good games. Very close. Could
be goal fest. We'll see.
It could be a goal fest. You know, let's see what happens with us against Villa. I think we win that game. And for me personally, I think Slot is the real deal. I wrote to my friend after the Leverkusen game and I said, I think he might be the real deal. And, you know, I know he's a good manager. The verdict is still, you know, anything can happen. Anything can happen. And, look, you know, I don't want to get carried away, obviously, with Mr. Slot. But, you know, that roundup of games, you know, previously, you know, we've done well, you know, with just a draw against Arsenal. That's the only blip. Everything else has been wins.
I'm hoping that it's, you know, kind of a repeat of that Shankly-Paisley dynamic where comes in, gets the team, gives the team identity again, gets it playing the right way, and then the next manager comes in Paisley and wins and dominates everything. And hopefully Slot will be our Paisley.
I think so. So, Marty, thank you very much.
Pleasure.
Always enjoy talking to you about football. We'll catch you for game week 11. We hopefully look into getting a guest in to talk about their favourite team so we can have a bit of discussion about another football mad teacher. I've been Dean Sanusi. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.